If you live in a cold climate and you feel like curling up a little more in this weather, join the club. A lot of critters have hunkered down, deep in hibernation. They include groundhogs, black bears, skunks, chipmunks, mice, bats. But what exactly happens? What are they doing down there? Hibernation isn't sleeping. In fact, many hibernators get very little sleep over the winter months. It can be hard work. Murray Humphreys is Associate Professor of Wildlife Biology at McGill University in Montreal. He's looked closely at hibernating animals. And Murray, tell us, first of all, we know it differs from species to species. We'll get to that. But what is hibernation?
The best way to think of hibernation is as a long seasonal period of inactivity. It's basically something that lasts for months, usually with winter, where animals are inactive, often below ground.
Well, you say inactive. We understand some turtles don't breathe at all. Some frogs turn to ice cubes. Bears can hold their, you'll pardon me, pee for several months. But why do they do it? Why do they shut down?
I guess the basic idea is that we know that animals have metabolic requirements, energy requirements. They need food, energy to match those requirements. And for long periods of the winter, food isn't very readily available. For warm-blooded animals, you mentioned bears and bats and woodchucks and things like that, at the same time as their food being not available, their normal metabolic requirements would increase because they have to shiver to stay warm in the cold. So it's this kind of double whammy where they have a lot of demand and not a lot of supply, and so it causes them to have to become inactive for months
right.
at a time.
It's saving energy.
Exactly.
But you understand some of them, you know, get up. You know, they sort of rouse themselves from this every now and then to eat. So, for instance, squirrels, we know this, they squirrel away food for the winter. How does that work?
Yeah, so just a few distinctions to make. One is you mentioned turtles and frogs, and they're the really incredible hibernators. They're what we call ectotherms or cold-blooded animals, and they can kind of freeze solid some of the species and certainly stop breathing, as you say, and really arrest metabolism all winter long. The other so-called warm-blooded or endotherms reduce their metabolism and energy requirements more, but not as completely as some of those cold-blooded species. And then the question is, what's going to be the energy source that you use to survive winter? And some of them rely on fat, like bears and bats and woodchucks, and others survive on food that they store away in their burrow.
But so how does that work in the brain? Because we've also read that this is a lot of work. You know, you have to figure out, you know, you don't want to go into a coma. You know, they have to know when to wake themselves up. But as you said, they can't expend too much energy. So is it as much work as it seems?
It's as much work and it's as complicated as it seems. In fact, cooling the body and saving energy by cooling the body isn't that complicated. You know, a person that was hypothermic would spontaneously start to save energy when they were in that cold state. The real trick is, how do you get yourself back out of that state, protect yourself from the damages that might happen when you're cold, and then spontaneously rewarm? And you mentioned being in some kind of a coma state, and it's completely amazing to think that these warm-blooded guys like bats and bears and things, when they're in hibernation, they're actually clinically brain dead, that there's no slow-wave brain activity, there's no the normal physiological processes that happen when we're warm don't happen when they're cold.
And again, that's the difference. You know, sleep is just a lowered consciousness. But hibernation, you're just suspending metabolism. It's like
turning the lights off.
Right.
And so one of the amazing things, and you don't want to mix up sleep with hibernation, that in fact, when hibernators rewarm and come up to what we call a periodic arousal, one of the first things they do is go to sleep, because they still need the restorative functions of sleep that would normally happen when you don't turn the lights off, but just kind of rest.
It's wild. Well, and you as a researcher have visited bat caves and collected data. Wild bats were hibernating. Now, we want to say nobody else should do this. This is, you should not interfere with an animal while they're hibernating. But as a researcher, you have called to do this. What's that like? What do they feel like? And is an animal in hibernation aware?
No, it's really like an amazing state of suspended animation. I've held, you know, hibernating chipmunks or ground squirrels in my hands and bats in my hands, and they're absolutely stiff. They feel rigid. They seem to be non-responsive. They in fact can hear a little bit. They can see a little bit once they arouse. But it takes them a very long time to do so. Everything's very slowed down. So if you were to start poking a hibernating chipmunk or ground squirrel, it might take them 10 or 15 minutes to get aroused to the point where they could actually react muscularly. hibernating animals can actually get eaten by much smaller animals that just happen upon them because they can't wake up in time to save themselves.
Well, and by the way, some say that bears aren't true hibernators because they can even, well, they give birth while hibernating. What's the difference? That they're not at that complete suspended state?
Yeah, it used to be common to kind of try and separate hibernators into two different groups, so-called true hibernators that were very deep and not very flexible with the metabolic reduction that they express, and pseudo or false hibernators that were a little shallower or a little more flexible. It's kind of increasingly recognized to represent a broad continuum. The thing that links them all is they spend a long period of time of the season inactive, but there's varying degrees of metabolic depression during that period, and certainly bears are at the shallow end of that period.
Well, in Britain, for some reason, baby hedgehogs are being born later in the year, maybe because it's warmer longer. And so people are having to rescue them because they're not prepared for hibernation. Marmots in the Rocky Mountains come out earlier every spring. What do you think? Do you think there's something going on?
Yeah, a couple of important things to keep in mind. One is that although you can say that the cold and lack of food in winter represents a challenge for warm-blooded mammals, it also kind of offers a solution because the colder the air temperature is in the winter, the more they can decrease their body temperature and therefore the more energy they can save. So one concern is that as temperatures get warmer, hibernators won't be able to save as much energy during winter, and if the winter length stays roughly the same, then you've got higher requirements over the same period and potential starvation before spring. The other issue that you've talked about is the timing of spring and fall, and hibernators are on a really tight, you know, seasonal economic strategy. They have to be gaining fat at the right times of year and losing it at a minimum rate per day at the other times of year. And so anything that plays with the seasonal timing of when they have to come out in spring or when food becomes available in spring or how late they can get in autumn can be really critical.
Yeah.
It's an interesting area because on one hand, some of the cues that hibernators use for the right time to start and end hibernation can be things like photoperiod that won't change with climate change. On the other hand, it can be cues like food availability or snow that will.
Well, and I'm not sure if you have an opinion about this because you work with primarily animals, but what do you think about humans? The Washington Post reports that at least one primate species, the fat-tailed dwarf lemur, hibernates. There have been some lab experiments trying to get animals to a level of hibernation. We know babies have been pronounced dead after falling into frigid waters, but then they've been brought back, so they seem to go into this suspended state. One researcher, Matthew Andrews, says there's maybe some genes related to hibernation that humans may have. So, you know, what do you think about all this?
I wouldn't hold my breath for humans hibernating. I think that the key thing to think about is just the complexity of the whole system has to work together. And, well, the genetics and the molecular biology of hibernation certainly offers promise, I think, to expect that whole package to somehow translate into a capacity for humans to, say, hibernate for space travel. I certainly think we're a long way off from that.
Ah, obviously you haven't seen Avatar.
I guess not yet, huh?
Murray Humphreys, he studies hibernation as Associate Professor of Wildlife Biology at McGill University. Thanks so much. Just wonderful thinking about all these creatures curled up.
Thanks for talking.